just all the things that the decisions you've made and the things you've built in your life, to realize that it literally meant nothing. I was working for someone else. And I think the best way I can explain how I felt, and I read this somewhere, is that we are nothing more than free range humans on a tax farm. And that's how I thought.
This is the Off-Grid Agris Podcast. This podcast is about sharing our journeys into liberty through self-sufficiency, off-grid living, non-compliance, counter-economics, and the agora. Every episode will contain useful, practical, and applicable information you can use to gain the freedom you deserve. This information is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered legal or financial advice. You could even consider it to be fictional if you choose. Before we start the show, I want to remind you about The Hitching Post, our free bi-weekly newsletter all about liberty through self-sufficiency and counter-economics. To sign up, go to offgridagorist.com/newsletter or click the link in the show notes. Thanks. Let's get on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Off-Grid Agorist Podcast. I am your host, Regina, and I am here with my co-host, Cyrus.
Good morning.
And today we have a very special guest all the way from Canada, a newly minted agorist. It's Morgan.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey. It's an off-grid agorist three-way.
The weekend agorist is here. Yeah. The
weekend agorist. Yes, that's your brand.
On a Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Yeah, on a Tuesday. That doesn't seem right, but yeah, weekend agorist, still living both lives.
That's right. Cool. Yeah. So that's how you came up with the name, correct?
Just to be like, I'm going to be an agorist. That wasn't really feasible for us. So we kind of looked at ways that we could slowly move out of the system and, you know, still keep our business and our home. And, but then on the other side, you know, we are starting our own business in the gray market, and we bought off-grid property finally, so we can start the transition to the other side.
I need awesome. A sound effect. Yeah. That's great. Great news
that
to hear
is
that
awesome.
You're going off-grid. So the three of us all are off-grid or getting to be off-grid, whether part-time or full-time. So that's pretty cool.
Right.
I think you're going to see a lot more of it in the future. I think a lot more people are going to be going that direction.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, supposedly there's a mass exodus going on from all the cities around the world. So people are moving to suburban areas and rural areas, and the more hardcore folks like us are totally off grid, which is awesome.
Yeah, we looked at other areas, but really it was important that there was like zero hydro lines, zero city utilities, anything. We didn't want to be bothered or really red flagged in any way. So we went out, you have to drive for like an hour just to get to where a property is.
Nice.
So it's, nice. It's quite nice.
Which,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And where you are driving for an hour really puts you in the woods, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, like just an hour off the main road.
Right.
Yeah, it puts us quite far out. We're still trying to figure out internet service. I know you guys have talked about, you know, different Wi-Fi options. So that's kind of next on my list. But yeah, so there's zero services. And it's also in a small community, which is nice because I'm all about community. So
yeah.
So if, you know, they have chickens and I grow lettuce, well,
right on.
This will work.
A little bit of bartering going on. Yeah, as long as you have cell service out there.
No, there is not.
Oh, there's no cell service. Okay. Well, then your best bet for internet will probably have to be Starlink from Elon Musk.
Possibly. I have my own personal opinions about Starlink. Maybe not something to get into right now. So I don't think we'll be going that direction, but there is satellite available, and we have talked to the people in the community, and it works fantastic.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay. So, and it is, I mean, it is, it's not as expensive, as expensive as I would have thought. So we're going to go that direction, and hopefully we can continue to run our business, and I can continue to write and do my blogs and stuff. So.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good solution. Nice. Satellite, and satellite's probably come a long way since the last time I checked into it. Because the last time I checked, it was awful. And but that was 3-4 years ago. So it's probably much improved anymore. Yeah.
No, it's they said like Zoom and any like running anything is fine. So
cool.
Oh good.
I have to let you know.
Yeah, you let us know. Let us know, because we're always looking for better Wi-Fi experiences in the boonies.
I guess. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's always an off-grid issue. Yeah.
Yes,
well, so tell us a little bit about where you started in agorism, where, like when we had talked about it before, you had said you had heard about it. And so I'm curious, when you first heard about it, what was your initial reaction to it?
Okay. Well, when I started, pretty much I had like a face hit the wall scenario. Where everything was as it always has been, until I realized that we were pretty much just being lied to. It started with the whole vaccine conspiracy, and I realized what was happening. So I started, like most people, you know, start looking for options. Like, what can I do about it? I can sit here and bitch and complain about it all day long, but like, what can I actually do about it to try to get away from this? And so, obviously I ended up, you know, researching a lot of, you know, looking into anarchy, which I found was very angry. And I'm not an angry person. I'm very much about peace, love, and freedom. So I kind of started researching anarchy, and it was just personally not for me. I'm not a political person. I don't get into left, right, you know, right wing, left wing. I just kind of want to do my own thing. But I don't want to be under the thumb while I do it. So that's how I found agorism. So I started doing some research on that. And it was really like the non-aggression and the community orient, like ideas, ideology behind it that really made me think. It really triggered my mind.
Yeah.
Because it was a real option. Not go out and fight the system. I'm not interested in fighting the system. So that was kind of where it started. And me and my husband had talked about it. And but it's hard because like we've had a business that's been in this town for 27 years. So to just like up and disappear, it's not really an option. So we bought a piece of off-grid property. And back in February, and we started researching off-grid podcasts, and then we found you guys. So we started
February of 2021.
And pardon?
February of 2021 or 2020?
We bought the property in 2020.
Okay, so you've had it for a little while.
We just bought it.
20, yeah, so you're just—I mean, literally 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Right on.
So, oh no, we had started listening to your podcast before that while we were looking for off-grid property. We actually, so it's probably, I've been listening to you guys for about 6 months, but it was about February.
The property purchase,
yeah, we closed on the property in February.
Okay, cool.
So listening to you guys and Cyrus, you make it so logical and you make it so possible. You know, applied agorism, right? Like ways to actually apply the philosophy to your life. Mm-hmm. So we just started with tiny little things. We just stopped supporting corporations. You know, we started there. I used to do Walmart pickups. I stopped. I stopped ordering off Amazon. I stopped going to the Starbucks. I stopped any of the big corporations. I just stopped supporting completely.
Wow.
And then we started in the gray market. So it was like anything we needed, we would look on Marketplace or, you know, any online buy and sells. And we just started doing that. And then I started selling everything on Marketplace. And right. I pretty much make a full-time living now doing that.
Wow. That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. So all those little things, they all make a difference. Months.
They do. They do. And that's what I said. And I had written about it in one of my blogs, is like the first thing we did was stop buying coffee. And that's 65 cents in Canada for taxes that you would pay for your coffee. If, you know, we do that for an entire year, every day we make our own coffee. That's $230 a year. And if a million people stops buying coffee, that starts to. Right. Mm-hmm. So right. I started to think about all these little steps, right? All these little steps. And then, yeah, we just started to take it up a little bit, and it's a little bit at a time, right? Yeah. Every little step counts.
Yeah. And that's what really, what I liked about agorism was that it's a plan. Like
There's
an action to it, as opposed to, you know, I've talked anarchy with people for a long time, and it's always just an argument about whose anarchy is better than the others.
Yes.
You know, but there's no action. There's no plan, except that one side, they want to blow up the government. And then, you know, the other side just wants to buy an island somewhere and create their own utopia. You know, it seems like that's all they ever argue about, you know, and agorism is an action plan. This is how peacefully you can live like you're free right now. And that's what I loved about it. Right.
The minute we made the decision, we felt liberated immediately.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
we felt like we were part of something, and we felt like we were now no longer part of that. You know, we were able to walk away in literally a 30-second decision, and we felt better. So yeah, it's a journey though. That's for sure. It's definitely a journey. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That's okay. So basically, let's rewind a little bit. It's the beginning of the pandemic. We'll call it March 2020 or so, spring of 2020. Your business, you had an in-person business, and it was a music business, a music school. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So then from one day to the next, your business gets fully shut down.
Overnight, literally. Overnight. It was a Thursday. They said they're shutting everything down. That Friday we closed.
So then at that point you lose all of your income overnight. You have no idea what's going to happen. There's no game plan from the state. So you're indefinitely shut down, essentially. Yes. Is what happened.
Yes.
So then you had to make this it was almost a do or die decision, adapt or die decision. How do we survive?
It was absolutely yes.
Mm-hmm.
I knew at that time, I knew in my gut that we weren't going to open. I knew in my gut we weren't going to be able to open again. We went online immediately, one of the first music schools to do so. We had created a whole platform in 2 weeks. So
Wow. And how did that work?
That's impressive.
Roll over into it well? Did people keep going? Did they keep attending, or did they pull out?
Yeah, we lost a huge portion. March last year, we had 2 studios and 300 students a week. And we shut down, we went online, we got about 150 students register immediately. So we lost about 50% of
50%. Okay. That's huge.
Yeah. But we were still paying all the same expenses, right? So we still had 2 studios. We still had to pay for all of that. So last year, or in a year, we lost about $25,000. Trying to keep our studios open while being online with only half of our clientele. So since then we have no more studios. We've gotten rid of them all.
You had to. So then the landlord is out of their rent money from you guys. You guys are out. But you close this. Oh, you're still paying on the studios because you're in a lease or?
We owned one and we rented one. So
I see. Okay.
We waited 6 months and then we shut one down and then we just sold the building. So.
Wow. And so was there any bailout or anything, any assistance from the state to help small business owners in crisis?
There is. There is programs. We haven't taken any.
Yeah.
No, I'm too worried about any repercussions down the road.
So. Right. The payback, because nothing is free.
Yeah. No.
No. So just to say exactly what happened from a logical point, the government, and I don't know how Canada government works at all, but they, by edict, just simply say, you have to close down. And despite them, you only lost $25,000 because of your wherewithal to, okay, we got to make a decision. We got to jump online. Let's do it this way. Who knows what you would have lost without your own actions?
Mm-hmm. Everything.
Simply because the government says we've got to shut down.
Yeah.
Everyone has to shut down, or whoever they said has to shut down. It was just a decision that another person made about another person's livelihood. It's just crazy. It's nuts to me. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
But on the flip side, I mean, it is, and you know what? What's scary is the people that are blind and not seeing what's happening. And they're still waiting. They're still paying that $25,000 or more, waiting to go back to normal. You know, they're waiting to go back to normal. And we did not do that. Like, I literally, 2 weeks, I cried. That was all I did. I cried. And then went, nope, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, we're going to take this upon ourselves, and we are going to find the opportunity here. And that's what we did. And I'm grateful that, again, we only lost $25,000.
Yeah.
Right. Glass is half full right there.
And it is. And you know what? If it wasn't for what, you know, what's going on in the world, I would never have opened my eyes. I would still be, you know, that good little citizen trying to comply. I mean, it's what's going on in the world that really tipped me off to realize something's not right.
So before the COVID hit and the pandemic, you were a fully compliant, good citizen, paid your taxes, claimed your business income, and you did everything right. And they still effed you. They still effed you hard.
Yep.
Even though you did every single thing right, because you can't win for losing, which is what we've been kind of talking about, is agorism as a tool of survival, because they have created an environment where you can't even survive in the system because they have made it so hard to survive. So we have to opt out. We have made our own escape plan, because you get backed into the corner so hard. At some point you say, hey, I can't play your game anymore. I'm playing my own game now. You know,
that's a good way of putting it too. They backed me into the corner, and that's exactly how I felt. I was backed into a corner, and I had to make decisions for us and not for anybody else. And I'm grateful at this point. I mean, I'm grateful because the situation that I'm in now is so much better. It's so much better. I feel so grateful, which is weird, right? You're shut down, close down your business. We're in a pandemic, and I'm sitting here grateful and, you know, happy about the decisions that I have made throughout all this. So you got to find the opportunity, right?
Make lemonade. Yeah.
I'm curious about your experience is a little bit different than Regina and I, where Regina and I were always kind of underground outlaws all our life. Most of our lives, we were kind of outlaws already. And then... Yeah. But we had this tremendous amount of guilt about being an outlaw. And then we find agorism. We're like, wait a minute. It's not only is it okay that I'm an outlaw, but it's actually kind of morally superior in a lot of ways. And yes. Since you didn't have that experience, or it doesn't sound like that, correct me if I'm wrong, you went from like good citizen straight into agorism. So did you, in that interim, when you were making that change, was there that feeling that, should I really be an outlaw? Was there kind of a guilty twinge in any of that? Or did you just, was it like a light switch?
Light switch. It was 100% a light switch for me. it was like that. Like, I'm not even lying when I say I went from, oh my God, wear your mask. Oh my God, comply. Oh my God, don't go near your grandma, to F the government. They've been lying to us my entire life. You know, and that was my realization. And I'm trying to be
clear. Yeah.
it was, but I'm not going to say it was easy. I mean, it was a light switch. Yeah. It was literally like this to that. But it was overly emotional. It was overly emotional.
Because it happened so
quickly. To kind of look at your life and all this, just all the things that the decisions you've made and the things you've built in your life, to realize that it literally meant nothing. I was working for someone else. And I think the best way I can explain how I felt, and I read this somewhere, is that we are nothing more than free range humans on a tax farm. And that's how I felt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Free range humans on a tax farm. Working.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. Everything I was doing was just to pay, you know, here's your cut, you know, and that's, I can't live right. Like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find a lot of people's transition is much slower because like your admission that they've been lying to me all my life. That's hard for people to swallow, and they fight it. They fight that realization all the way. And so for you to do it just like that, I think that's kind of a unique experience. But then again, last year was pretty unique. You may not be alone in that, you know.
Are
you getting any comments from other people that have had that kind of similar experience to you?
I'm getting a lot of feedback from my podcast. Cool. So a lot of people that are just kind of doing the same thing. They're like, this is not right. I need other options. I need to opt out. So it's refreshing. I mean, I had a lady email me last night that literally made me bawl my eyes out just because, you know, she was just like, I feel so alone. I can't talk to anybody. And your podcast, it just brings me hope. And I'm like,
oh my gosh. You know? Yes.
So we went back and forth. I'm like, if you ever feel overwhelmed and alone, like, I will be your support system. You can be mine. Like, we all need to, you know, gang together. So there is a lot of people out there that are opening their eyes and seeing that they're living in a fake world, you know? So it's interesting. It's quite the time to be alive.
It's a good point to bring up the emotional aspect of what these lockdowns and what the government and all these worldwide movements are doing to people, and how it's emotionally destroying a lot of people. And the only way I can really compare it to is like The Matrix, you know, the movie The Matrix, and you have the red pill or the blue pill. Is it red and blue? I think it's red and blue. You know, at some point you take that pill and mind blown, and some people just, they don't have a good time coping with it, you know? So there is a massive emotional thing. You build your business your whole life, you get into the system your whole life, and you get nothing in return. And then finally the mind blows and you're in the matrix and you just got to roll with it.
Yeah, that is definitely a good way to look at it. It is, like The Matrix. Actually, I haven't seen that movie in years. I'll have to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're living in The Matrix, it feels, for sure. Well, we're opting out.
Yeah.
We're opting out of The Matrix, I think.
Yes.
So tell us about Canada.
A little more every day.
Yep. Yeah, how hardcore is Canada on the pandemic right now? This is what, April 2021? We're going on over a year. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel for you all up there?
No.
No. Oh, that's
no, great. It's flat out. No, that's a no. Solid no. We are pretty much stuck in our homes. We're on a stay at home order. We are not allowed to see anybody outside of our households. We are only allowed to leave our house to work, get groceries, and exercise, and that is all.
So what happens if you buck that? Like, do they arrest you? Do they put you in jail? Do they write you a citation? Like, what's the repercussions if you push back against that?
They're giving out tickets, $800 tickets.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Most people aren't paying them, which I wouldn't. I mean, I've been lucky. I haven't been bothered. But yeah, it's $800 tickets. There's been some really horrible things, like they're charging children playing hockey. It's a sad place right now. Here in Ontario, they just shut down all the schools indefinitely. Indefinitely.
Yeah. How dare they? How freaking dare they?
I think they're going to open the schools back up. This is just my prediction, but they'll open the schools up in September when the kids have vaccinations. I think that's where this is going. Yeah. It's the word vaccination is literally everywhere. They might as well just paste it on the telephone poles. It's everything is vaccinations here. Everything. Like they are literally knocking on doors in low-income housing units with needles.
Wow. Like,
oh my gosh.
And you're in Ontario?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
It sounds like Canada's a lot worse than the US.
It is, yeah.
And Ontario is the worst of Canada. All of them. So right now you could see it coming because I like to read headlines. I don't ever read articles for mainstream. I like to read headlines just because it kind of tells me what's coming. And we're going straight in sound bites. That's a good way to put it. We're going straight into travel restrictions. So we're just waiting for them to say that we can't leave our region by law.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I think is coming next. Yeah.
So you're facing, residents of Ontario are facing serious, severe draconian lockdowns, a complete stripping of your fundamental human rights, issuing citations, pushing vaccinations. I mean, you're definitely living in one of the more extreme regions for sure. So that's really interesting.
That's a dystopian fiction novel.
Yeah.
This is 1984 right here, guys.
Yeah.
And now the newest thing is because it's like poking the bear, right? What they're doing is they're just trying to piss people off as much as possible so that they hit the streets. So that's starting to happen. So now is the great divide. Now we're facing the great divide, the fear thy neighbor, because now we have get the vaccine, I won't get the vaccine. Well, if you don't get the vaccine, that you are now, a public threat. You are now enemy of the state because you can now get me sick. So now we're having, friends and family members being torn apart because they're on different sides. And the mainstream media is pushing that so hard. I actually took a screenshot of one of our local newspapers this morning because it said, how do you get people to act that don't want the vaccine to take the vaccine? Give them money.
Give them a what?
Give them money.
Oh, give them money. So let's bribe our friends and family with money to take the vaccine, which is just totally insane that's been developed in what, less than a year? This vaccine's been developed using this mRNA. And they're just mass pushing it onto everyone around the world to places that have a less than a 0.002% death rate. It's just totally insane to me. It's mind blowing.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
I'm not.
Everything's about the.
Yeah. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Like I'm not anti-vaxxer, but you're not going to test it on me. Like, this thing is too new. You're not going to test it on me. That's for sure. Like, I'll make my decision a couple of years from now. And I imagine it'll be the same because although I'm not an anti-vaccine person, I don't trust the government. So, and since they're in charge of it, I'll probably never take it just for that reason. But
yeah, I'm also not an anti-vaxxer. I mean, I don't take the flu shot because that just gives you the flu. But I mean, right. I'm not against it. I'm not against any of it. I really don't care. Yeah. I've never really put any thought into it, to be honest. Not something I've ever worried about. But literally, I will hear the word vaccine. I don't know. It feels like a million times a day. It's insane. Yeah. number one priority right here in Ontario. That's all they care about. Get the vaccine, get the vaccine. Hmm. So
big pharma indoctrination.
Hardcore. Yeah. Pretty terrifying
stuff. Well, I did see some recent statistics that in, oh crap, what was it? I want to say it was Chicago. They're having the highest, wave of infections right now. And they've also already vaccinated a third of the population, but yet they have the highest, I don't know, it's correlation. It's not causation, but it says something.
It is. I could get into that
and I probably shouldn't.
You could get into what?
I could get into that. I mean, there's a lot of speculation on what's happening with these vaccines versus the rise in cases.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it here. I know a lot of people that are in healthcare that have got the vaccine and they are sick. They're very sick.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
there's something bigger going on beneath the surface, and we could delve into that rabbit hole, but. You know, so all this happened to you and you're facing all these draconian lockdowns and then you're just like, screw it, I'm going off grid. And so you've been building your off grid ranch. How many acres do you have?
We only have two. It's not huge, but it is right on the river. It is up on a hill. It's in, within a community. So there was a lot. Yeah. So like there was a lot of the things that were important to me. When we started looking for property, and it's not easy to find off grid. It really, and I'm in Canada. You think it would be everywhere.
Right.
But like a lot of it, you can find it, but like you can't get to it and you boat access only, or, you know, we wanted something where at least there was a clearing that we could get on right away, you know, that we could just move a trailer on there right away. We wanted a water source for sure. We wanted zero flooding. Like we didn't want to be in a place where we would be hit with flooding. And we didn't want to be on 80 acres by ourselves because, well, we've never gone off grid. We've been studying off grid for about 7 years.
Okay.
This was kind of our retirement plan. So
you're accelerating your retirement.
So we're kind of like, that's exactly what we did.
Retirement plan activated.
Again, like a light switch, right? Yeah. Everything just happens super fast. So,
but you don't need more than 2 acres. You don't need more than, there's two of you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can do your garden. You can do your chickens if you want to do goats. You may even, well, a cow, maybe one cow, that'd be pushing it, but you can fully do what you need to do on 2 acres. No cow. Okay. There's not going to be no milking at the 2 acre ranch, but.
No, that's why we have a community. So
yeah, exactly. Someone else milks the cow.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want a cow. Not a cowgirl.
Yeah.
So we've been working on that. We found a local sawmill guy that will cut all of our lumber for our cabin. Completely off the books, no taxes, you know, but we're helping support his family and he will deliver it right to our property. Okay. So we're right in the middle of that right now. Yeah. Yeah. So we're just about to start building and then probably just bug on out of here.
Wow.
That is awesome.
Love it.
Like you've been on a rapid get the hell out of Dodge mode. So that's pretty cool. Cause you bought the property February, like, you're moving fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 6 months. It's been 6 months since the light switch.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's it. We sold all of our stuff. We paid off all of our debt. We have zero debt now. And we're just packing up and heading out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's another huge thing, that the debt-free lifestyle and getting out of that entrapment system. Yeah. That whole banking entrapment system. That's a whole other slave system.
And like right now, the real estate market is terrifying. It's terrifying here. There's something going on. There is definitely something going on here with the real estate market.
Like what?
I also worked in the real estate market. So, and I quit my job. I quit my job months ago. I was like, nope, done. I can't be part of this. There's a bubble. There's a bubble beyond a bubble at this point right
now.
Yeah,
that's where we're at in America too. Yeah, the bubble beyond a bubble where prices are just massively skyrocketing into oblivion. So you guys are experiencing the same thing.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And the problem is that what's going to happen is bubbles burst. They do. It's impossible for it not to. But all these young kids, these first time home buyers, like they're just throwing incentives at them. Low rates, go out, buy a house, please buy a house. But what's going to happen in no time is that the bubble is going to burst and they're going to own homes that are worth way more than what they, or that are, they're going to owe way more than they're worth.
Yeah.
And I come from the real estate financing industry, and lenders will pull. They will pull their mortgages. And
what is it? What does that mean?
That's a terrifying thought.
Call them in. Does that mean call them in? What do you mean by pull? Yeah. Okay.
They'll call the mortgage. So if right now, because people put 5% down, right? And I mean, they're expecting an 18 to 25% devaluation on real estate when the bubble bursts. So, you know, if you put 5% down and now your house is worth, you know, 25% less than it was when you bought it, but now you owe, like it's not a good, and I didn't know it was happening in the States. I wasn't aware.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's hardcore right now.
It's going to be tragic here when it happens, because in the States, a lot, if you're a new home buyer, there's programs where you don't even have to put 5 down, like the government. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac covers your down payment for if you're qualifying. You know, there are qualifiers, but, you know, so people are getting into houses that in a free market they would never be able to get into because they can't afford them. And so the person who is making the loan, making the mortgage without backing from a government is saying, I won't loan you the money because you can't afford it. But now since the government's backing it, they'll go ahead and do it and add on top of that the moratorium that we've had in the States where because of the shutdowns, renters have not had to pay their landlords and mortgages have not been being paid. And there's been a bunch of forbearance stuff going on. And as soon as the government lists all those restrictions, you know, these people are backed up on their rent and their mortgages by months.
Yeah.
And it's just going to come down, I think. I mean, I'm not a mortgage guy. I'm talking from my rear, but that's what it looks like to me.
But I think you've nailed it right on the head, Cyrus. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be a disaster. My question has always been, why is the government pushing so hard? The interest rates plummeted and then all these incentives started to come out. So they're literally forcing people into the market. My question has been why.
Well, it's going to be because of cataclysmic bubble burst. Mm-hmm. A monstrous.
Yes, well, yes, it is.
Man. I think they do it because they have to, because our economy is a false economy because of inflationary spending that is so bad that they have to create these tricks that pump money into the economy that, you know, they're just little shots of morphine into a dying economy that they keep doing. That's what they're doing. It, you know, I don't think it's any more nefarious than that. Aside from the fact that the money system is nefarious to begin with, they're just trying to save the economy. It's the only trick they've got left because interest rates are at zero.
Yeah. It's I don't know. Run. That's all I know.
Massive manipulation of the economy. Just run. Exactly. Just run and don't buy the top, please. Don't buy the top.
No, that's why we're like, pay everything off. You know, like we still have a house, you know, pay off the mortgage, pay off all the debt, you know, and just run because it's something's going to happen. I just don't know what yet.
Or when. You can never predict the actual top, you know, you can just get close to it. But then when it crashes, it goes.
The when is what scares me.
Yeah. The when.
Right.
Yeah. The when is the scariest thing in everything that's going on right now. It's always the when. So just be prepared now, I guess. That's what we're doing. We're just, you know, preparing now. I always say I don't want to be caught with my pants down. So.
Right.
Have you guys given yourself a target for when you move out to your property?
Actually, we have a trailer. So we bought a trailer and we gutted it. And so Bibi could actually build it to be completely off grid. And that trailer is going on the property this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah. So after that, the cabin really doesn't matter because we have a completely functional trailer on site. So that is step one. Like, that's what we said. Step one, because I mean, we're expecting travel restrictions. So we're not sure what's going to happen with that. We'll get the trailer on there. And after that, we are talking about just packing up and
hitting the road. Good.
Right on.
Yeah. And just kind of getting out and, you know, taking some time. Again, we have a house in the city. So it's not like we're literally selling everything. But if need be, we will. Right. Like we'll figure it out as we go. But again, I don't want to be caught with my pants down. So if they put travel restrictions and I can't leave my house, if I have to choose, I'd rather be in the bush than in the city.
Smart choice.
Yeah.
Thank you. I hope so.
I mean, we started telling people. Yeah. We started telling people 8 or 9 months ago, if you're in the city, start figuring out how to get out. Like just get out of the city, because that's where it's going to be worst first, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like we're by, in Toronto, it's a disaster. It's a disaster in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the big cities are going to be the scariest for sure. Where are you going to go? You know, you're in a stay at home order. You're locked in your house and you're just literally like, you're just piled on top of each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And making food, and we've talked about survival and, you know, surviving in the city and bugging out of the city and bugging in the city. And we've kind of covered all that topic, but if you can, if it's feasible, you know, get out while you still can. But if not, you know, start your indoor vertical gardening system. Start, you know, prepping.
I love that. Yeah.
There's options for
everyone. We've been doing off-grid prepping in our house.
Yeah.
We've been doing that in our house. We've been trying to take things off-grid. I'm all about food, and self-sufficiency. I'm actually writing a book about self-sufficiency in the city. So I'm laughing when you're talking.
And nice.
That's exactly what we're doing. Yeah. So we've been really focused on that. And this is long before, like I was always about that. Like I said, we've been studying off-grid for years. So this was all part of it for me. My husband's all like solar and ram pumps. And I'm all like growing the best shit possible as much as possible. You know,
that's funny. That's what my husband and I, he's like the mechanical genius and he set up our energy systems and he does all that. And I'm like, I'm just growing tomatoes, growing the best tomatoes you can.
Yeah. And we're the same way. Consumption is another huge thing for me. So water consumption, hydro consumption in the city, taking, you know, the refrigerator off grid in the city, or taking our furnace, cause we're in Canada, off grid, you know, just we're doing these little things to kind of slowly bring down, because it's illegal to actually take our house off grid. So, which is dumb, but, take everything off grid and just pay the service fees and they'll leave us alone.
Wow.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. They do that in the city. They make it illegal to go off grid. Insane. Insanity. How many people are in Toronto? You know?
Oh God. I don't even know. Like 8 million or something. It's insane. There's a lot.
That's a big city.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't live in Toronto. I'm a couple hours from it, but I hate it. I hate that city more than anything else. It's just outrageous. It is. They pile people on top of people. That's all they do. Everything's just gone up.
Well, and it must be absolutely miserable. And luckily, lockdown, you know, because when in the city, it's like everything you do is social. Everything you do is in enclosed spaces. So theaters, nightclubs, concerts, music, museums, that's kind of what you thrive on in a city. And then you shut it all down for months and months and months going on a year. People must be losing their freaking minds.
Well, that World Economic Forum put out their plan for smart cities and Toronto is on it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in Toronto over the next couple of years and how they start implementing their smart city infrastructure. So
2030 smart cities. Yep. It all fits into the grand master plan. Mm-hmm. Seeing it materialize before our eyes is pretty radical. So, wow.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I feel like I'm living in a sci-fi movie pretty much every day.
Right.
Every day.
Right.
Sounds like it.
Well, any final thoughts from anyone before we close this out?
So when you have, I have a question for one more. As you're spending time out in the area that you're moving to, the country, you mm-hmm. said there's a small community there.
Yeah.
I'm curious if it is like the small communities out here in that the people just don't even act the same as the people in the city, as far as their concern about COVID and all of these, all the craziness that people like are so afraid in the cities, and these people out here in the country, like they just don't worry about it. Is it that way where you are?
Yeah, we were out there last weekend and we literally just felt like it didn't exist.
Yeah.
Like COVID, the pandemic, it just didn't exist anymore as long as we were out there. Everybody out there, we've met all of our, you know, the neighbors in the area. They're all very like-minded to us. They all have a lot of the same outlooks, and I mean, they're off-grid for a reason. So it doesn't exist out there. And that's what they said. The fastest way to make this go away is turn off your damn television. Just stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop reading. Yeah. Stop falling
into
it. I know
how to turn off the television.
Have you seen that meme where it's an old man and like a grandchild, and the grandson is like, how did you survive the coronavirus of 2020? And he said, I turned my TV off.
Yeah. And there's so much truth to that. I'm in a weird place because I want to just break my phone, and I want to not ever go back onto any social media because it stresses me out, but I don't want to be caught off guard. So I'm constantly trying to see where we're going because I want to know, you know, what's next. I have literally predicted everything, you know, like just by reading, and they're like, oh, maybe we should have stricter lockdowns. Maybe we should have travel restrictions. Okay. I give it. One week until we have travel restrictions in Ontario, because they tell you everything is right there. Nothing's hidden. They say that, you know, ICUs are overrun. We can look up the numbers ourselves on the websites. They're not mm-hmm. overrun. They're actually under. They were last 3 years.
Wow.
But people believe it. So turn it off. Don't look. It's all a lie.
Right.
It's a fine balance of staying informed, but also not getting usurped. You have to be able to know kind of when to unplug, but you have to stay plugged in. It's kind of the conundrum, the off-grid conundrum of, I want to be fully off-grid, but I also need to be connected at least to a certain degree. So it is finding a personal balance.
Yeah, and it's hard.
It is hard.
Yeah, there is a personal balance that you need to find. And I mean, I'm a blogger, I'm a writer, so I need to stay informed. You know, it's very important to me, but I have to be very careful not to go down the rabbit hole, because for my own mental health and sanity, it's not good. It makes me drink far too much. I'll just say that.
Right. Yeah, alcohol sales are way up this past year. If you own stock in any booze, you are like making good money right now. Let me tell you.
We make all our own booze. So
yeah. So does Cyrus.
We have lots. Yeah. No. Oh, my husband's getting into your moonshine stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Moonshine channel. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. He was watching some stuff last night. So
still Sweet. In the clear.
Yeah.
Still in the clear. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't let him build a still at our house, but now that we have the off-grid property, I'm allowing it.
Well, that's mighty kind of you.
Our neighbors would get us in trouble. That's all I'm saying. So around here, to me, it's not feasible.
Rat you out.
But I mean, our entire basement is like, we make wine, we make ciders, we make beer, we make all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So
the still, nice. Now it's just a natural progression. So.
Right. Well, Morgan, I just want to make sure everyone knows to check out Morgan's podcast, The Weekend Agorist. It's awesome. I found it a couple of weeks back and I listen to every episode. They're short, sweet, and to the point, and I think it's awesome. Keep going.
Oh, I didn't think anybody would ever listen. So this is quite awesome.
Yeah, I binged your podcast. I was able to listen to them in a whole cleaning episode at my house. A cleaning episode. I was listening to your episodes while I was cleaning the house, and I binged them all. And I'm like, oh, this is great. In the bite-sized 5-minute format, I really love it. Yeah, really smart.
It's hard for me to even wrap my head around that people listen to it. So
yeah,
I'd rather not think about it because then I get nervous. I think, yeah, this morning, actually, I hit my 500 plays and I was like, holy shit.
Yay.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is great.
Seems like a lot for my first month. So
you're killing it.
Good for you.
Well, thank you. You have helped. You have definitely brought it to other people's attention. So that's great. And I've met so many amazing people through it, like you guys, you know, and people that are all on the same journey. So strength and unity, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you ever want to connect with us again, just let us know.
Yeah. Oh,
anytime. Cool. I have thoroughly enjoyed it.
We'll have to do a follow-up. We'll do a follow-up episode maybe in a couple months from now to see how your off-grid progress is going and catch up with you. And yeah, I think that would be good. Yeah. So the Weekend Agorist, is it theweekendagorist.com or just Weekend Agorist?
No, it's just weekendagorist.com.
Weekendagorist.com. Yep. Morgan, you're a very interesting person, a VIP. You've made it to our Agorist VIP list and you have beautiful green eyes. Oh my Lord. They are so pretty. You can see Morgan's green eyes at our new home on YouTube, Off Grid Agorist Podcast. And we're doing video now. YouTube, BitChute, Odyssey, all those fun platforms. So check it out. Go ahead and visit offgridagorist.com. We have a free newsletter sign up, comes out biweekly. We keep you informed on all kinds of off-grid topics. And you can also contact us there on our contact form. And don't forget to visit Cyrus at stillintheclear.com. Still in, no I-N, just an N, theclear.com for moonshine, if you want to learn how to make moonshine. So we appreciate you all tuning in and stay safe, stay healthy, off-grid life. Agorism rocks.
Talk to you later.
Later.